This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. Taking a look at your grain futures from last week, Friday, on the Board of Trade. There was an early close on Friday with the Thanksgiving holiday shortening last week, but corn posted positive gains on Friday. Soybeans closed in the black on Friday, and wheat bounced higher on Friday as well. First off, your corn futures rebounded from the Wednesday session losses. Again, no trading Thursday, and then the short trading on Friday. They had gains of 6.25 to 7.75 Friday. Private exporters in corn reported 302,160 metric tons of corn that went to Mexico by the USDA's mandatory reporting system on Friday morning. USDA's delayed export sales report tallied that the 2021 corn bookings were at 1.666 million metric tons for the week ending on the 19th. That's above the range of expectation. That total was more than double the same week last year and 53% larger than 2 weeks ago. Total commitments for U.S. exports are now at 36.9 million metric tons, the largest for the 12th week on record, and 162.5% above last year. That total is 55% of the USDA's export projection, 13% ahead of the five-year average pace. Shipments are the laggards versus that projection, only 14% complete versus the 17% average. Sorghum sales also totaled 355,750 metric tons. That's the second largest for the marketing year. Moving on to your higher soybean futures from the short day Friday, they had rallies of 7.75 to 9.25 in the front months. Soybean meal was up $1.10, soybean oil up 63 cents. The weekly export sales report pushed back to Friday morning indicated that just 768,071 metric tons of soybean sales for the week ending last Thursday. That was on the lower end of estimates and a marketing year low thus far. China accounted for 578,724 metric tons of sale. Shipped and unshipped sales account for 51.9 million metric ton, more than double the same week last year, and now 87% of the USDA's export projections. The average at this date is normally 60%. Meal bookings totaled 138,144 metric tons, with bean sales of 26,302 metric tons. The Buenos Aires Grain Exchange pegged Argentina's soybean plantings at 39%, slightly above last year, but they lag behind the five-year average of 44.5%. And moving on to your wheat futures from Friday, they clawed their way back higher on Friday. Kansas City led the way in the wheat complex, up 17.75 in the nearby December. Chicago Board of Trade wheat was up 7.25, Minneapolis up 7.5. Friday morning's delayed export sales report tallied a marketing year high for wheat of 795,698 metric tons of wheat sales during the week of the 19th. That was well above last week's marketing year low and 29.8% larger than the same week last year. Of that total, 501,852 metric tons was of white wheat. China purchased 333,000 metric tons. Export commitments of wheat are now at 69% of the projection from the USDA, matching the 5 years average. Exports are 45% of that projection. That's 1% below normal. In a buying tender on Thursday, Egypt purchased 175,000 metric tons of Russian wheat. So going back over your higher grain futures numbers from the short day of trading on Friday following the Thanksgiving holiday, corn December was up 6.25 on Friday, 426.25. March corn up 7.75, 435.25. May corn up 7.5, 437.75. Soybeans for January up 9.25 to 1193.25. March beans also up 9.25, closed at 1195. May beans up 7.75, 1191.75. Wheat in Chicago for December was up by 7.5 at 595.75. March wheat up 10.5 at 607. May wheat up 10.25 at 610. Oats for December were up by 1.5 at 287.25. March oats, however, down 1.5 at 298.75. Bean meal December up $1.10 at $398 a ton. January bean meal up 80 cents at $396.70 per ton. And soybean oil for December, 63 cents higher at the close Friday at $38.81. Now we'll move on and take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for last Friday's cash grain report.
This is Wednesday's reported grain price insurance prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. The Lincoln grain price were lower on Wednesday afternoon. Technical selling on the Board of Trade today weighed on grain prices. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 5 to 6 cents lower, 392 to 419. Soybean bids are down 7 cents at 1134 to 1172. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 6 cents lower at $4 to 421, while soybean bids are down 7 to 10 cents at 1155 to 1191. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids are 4 to 6 cents lower at 389 to 440. Soybean bids are mostly 4 to 7 cents lower at 1150 to 1203. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 7 cents lower at 1186 to 1199. Basis was steady at 2 over to 15 over the January. High pro soybean meal on a truck base offered at 399.90 to 406.90 a ton, down $1.40 a ton, with basis unchanged at 3 over to 10 over the December. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 6 cents lower, 415 to 444, with basis steady at 524 over the December. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted to produce corn bids down 5 to 8 cents at 416 to 426, with basis mixed at 400 to 6 over the December. Soybeans ended steady to down 7 cents at 1173 to 1181, with basis unchanged up 7 at 1100 to 3 under the January. East St. Louis barge loading tomato placer produced corn bids down 4 to 6 cents, 446 to 447. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 6 to 11 cents. Quotations at $12 to 1201. Soft wheat closed down 3 cents at 617 to 618. Milo ended the day 6 cents lower at 480 to 502. Contract bids producers for January delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 396 to 430. Soybeans at 1134 to 1173. In the central part of the state, corn for January delivery at 411 to 431, soybeans at 1161 to 1193. In the southern part of the state, corn for January delivery at 413 to 453, soybeans at 1167 to 1211. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock report from last Friday's close off the Mercantile Exchange, cattle and hogs both closed lower to end out last week. Live cattle futures were 70 cents to $1.20 lower in the nearby contracts Friday. Feeder cattle futures were down 30 to 55 cents on the day. Last Friday's feeder cattle index was at 136.90, 53 cents lower from Tuesday of last week. The USDA export sales report showed a net reduction of 15,543 metric tons of beef export sales, with most of that from South Korea. Shipments were still a solid 20,222 metric tons, the third largest this marketing year. Sales for 2021 were also negative for the week. Wholesale box beef prices were lower on Friday afternoon. Choice down 221 to 242.85. Selects 22 cents lower at 220.68. Both were higher for the week. A few cash trades were at $111 reported last week, with northern sales of $174 in the beef. USDA had estimated that cattle slaughter last week through Saturday was 564,000 head, and that's 9,000 head more this past week than the same week last year. Moving on to your hogs, they had steady to 22-cent drops on Friday. The lean hog index for last Tuesday was down 32 cents to 67.38. The weekly export sales report showed 18,844 metric tons in export bookings for the week ending Thursday the 19th. Weekly pork export shipments were the largest since May at 40,935 metric tons. China stepped up the shipping pace to 14,400 metric tons. USDA's national pork carcass cutout value is up $1.61 to $79.96. USDA's national average base hog price was down 48 cents at $56.73 in the Friday afternoon report. USDA had figured the federally inspected hog slaughter through Saturday was at 2.35 million head. That's not comparable to 2 weeks ago due to the holiday, but 28,000 head larger than last year. So to go back over your lower livestock futures from Friday off the Mercantile Exchange, December live cattle were 82 cents lower at Friday's close at 110.55. February live cattle down $1.20, 112.97. April live cattle down 70 cents, 116.72. Feeder cattle for January down 55 cents, 139.62. March feeders down a half a dollar, 138.77. April feeders down 30 cents, 140.10. Finally, your lean hogs for December were down 22 cents Friday, 65.95. February lean hogs also down 22 cents, 67.45. April lean hogs down 12 cents at 70.62. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Illinois Department of Agriculture on this Monday morning to recap Friday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday afternoon livestock report. Started the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound park carcass traded 50 cents lower, in a range of 51 to 58.50 with a weighted average carcass price of 57.39. On the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow price were firm with moderate demand for heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded $28 to $34, 4 to 5 weighted $32 to $36, 5 to 6 weighted $35 to $39, and over 600 pounds $39 to $41. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices of barrels and gilts country buying points were steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $36 to $42. Packer receipts for barrels and gilts a total $24,522. In the Direct Cattle Trade, in the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers live basis trade at 106 to 111. On address basis at 170 to 177. Choice heifers and live basis trade at 108 to 111 and on address basis at 171 to 177. From the National Daily Pork Plant Port, trading for retail and processing cuts was steady with 397 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was $78.35, which is 77 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice select beef carcass are trading higher. Choice carcass 245.06, which is 76 cents higher, while select carcass 220.90, which is $1.19 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 118,000 compared to 119,000 last week, 119,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated 494,000 compared to 494,000 last week and 479,000 one year ago. That includes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show on this Monday morning, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield, by Pros Drainage, and by Farm Credit Illinois. Time now for part two of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by the CNB Bank and Trust, with 17 locations to serve you, and by Stein Seed. 626, and with part two of the Morning Ag Show, once again we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thanks again, Randy. Now in Ag News on your Monday morning. Many in agriculture are wondering what the future will hold under a Joe Biden administration, especially when it comes to trade. Randy Russell is a former USDA undersecretary and the current president of Russell Group in Arlington, Virginia. He spoke during the recent CME Group webinar and says things will look a lot different than they did in the previous 4 years.
The Trump administration focused, as you guys know better than anyone, very heavily on using tariffs as a means to an end. By that, to get people's attention and get them to the negotiating table. He certainly used it on the steel and aluminum tariffs with Canada and Mexico, made some threats on Korea before we got the Chorus Agreement put in place, negotiated a phase one with Japan, certainly imposed significant tariffs on China, and many of those remain.
He does give the administration credit for the phase one trade deal with China. Russell says the next 4 years may be more about cooperative efforts, especially when it comes to dealing with China.
I think relative to China and new Biden administration, I think what you might see is two things. One is an effort to try to put more pressure on China by working with our allies, working with our trading partners to try to put some pressure on China. Number two is I think you might see them try to reduce some of the tariffs or eliminate some of the tariffs. I'm not saying all the tariffs, and see if there is a reciprocal action on the part of the Chinese to try to lower the temperature in the relationship.
He also looks at trade from the Chinese perspective and says it's very different from the U.S. way of doing things.
It doesn't matter who's president in their eyes. They are on a path over the next 20 to 30 years to get to a certain point economic-wise. And up to this point, I think it is pretty clear that they've stolen our technology. They've restricted our foreign investment. They have clearly taken aggressive actions against Hong Kong and the South China Sea. They've had human rights violations in the northwest section of China. And those are all going to be very vexing issues for the Biden team when they come in.
Finally, he says China is going to be a vexing problem for many administrations for years to come. In other ag news here on your Monday, technology innovations continue to cement their place in the agronomic toolboxes of farming operations across the globe. One of the most notable technologies is satellite imagery, which Syngenta now offers through FarmShots software. Peyton Miriam, Digital Ag Solutions Marketing Lead at Syngenta, says that satellite imagery delivers the entirety of a grower's farm directly into their hands for precise analysis at a click of a button.
We utilize satellite imagery that flies over fields roughly on every 3 to 5 day basis. When that imagery is captured, we're able to use our own algorithms and filters to be able to try to uncover whatever that timing of the season may present to itself. So one of the main filters that is used in the ag imagery space, probably the most popular that you'll find out there, is something called NDVI imagery. NDVI stands for Normalized Difference Vegetation Index. And all that is a really fancy math equation that takes sunlight and how it is absorbed or reflected from the crop on the field. Healthy plants, for the most part, will reflect sunlight more than unhealthy plants.
The Normalized Difference Vegetation Index may be the most popular feature across satellite imagery in agriculture, but the power of FarmShot software doesn't stop there.
We utilize NDVI, but we have other filters as well within FarmShot that allows folks to measure other things. We have something called NDWI, which is a water index for early in the season around planting time. This filter actually looks for standing water in a field. So if it's time to plant and you don't want to miss any more time, you can create a feeding prescription in FarmShot and basically plant around where that pool of water is, or you can go back later and identify that for insurance purposes if you had a really bad year and you did prevent plant or something like that. There's probably 8 to 10 different filters that we have within FarmShot, all for different usage depending on time of the year.
The filters and capabilities within FarmShot's satellite imagery allows growers to make more precise decisions around planting and product application, inherently leading growers to be more intentional about what and how much product they're using on their land.
We want to be good stewards of our land, and we want to make sure that we are utilizing our tools and our products in a sustainable and stewarded in a great way. Prescription technology allows you to be able to do that in a lot of ways, be able to see different areas of the field and the different areas that need attention and address those areas without having to necessarily apply to an area that may not benefit from it. Being able to understand or validate the decisions that you've made by looking at product efficacy and knowing that, oh, it looks like my plants were healthier, they stayed greener longer, or it did work harder. Those things are confidence boosters because they help customers realize that they made the right decision on their operation.
Again, that was Digital Ag Solutions Marketing Lead for Syngenta, Peyton Miriam. And in our latest story from the National Pork Board, pork has always been a leader at the breakfast table, but it is now emerging as a leader in convenience store sales, too. National Pork Board Director of Channel Marketing, Neil Hull, says the role of convenience stores have adjusted over time.
The key for convenience stores is it's this idea of grab and go, where I can pop in, grab a breakfast sandwich, grab a coffee, grab a soda, and I'm on the roads.
But Neil also notes that convenience stores have been forced to adjust to COVID-19.
If you think early on and you go back to April, May, and June, you know, the idea of the roller grill or grab-and-go cases, you know, from a safety standpoint, they really had to shift away from that. And what we've seen happening with convenience stores is they're more focused on grab and go with retail type packaging. So retail facings have really, and that was a trend that was started before COVID, but you're seeing a lot of convenience stores shifting to this prepackaged, shifting to a refrigerated case. You're starting to see some of the hot food come back, which is good, but they've really shifted the focus on this prepackaged mindset because, you know, consumers feel that that's a safer option and it hasn't been handled as much as some of the other items.
Convenience stores are focused on food, and the Pork Checkoff wants pork to be central in that focus. That strategy is beneficial to pork producers across the country.
There's opportunity for volume. There's opportunity to expand menu offerings as they continue to focus on the food service side of their business. And another example that I'll give you is there's a major convenience store chain that has 1,800 locations, and we're working on an item that would have bacon, it would have sausage, and it would have ham. So, I mean, really central to the producer. And another area that is good for the Pork Checkoff is it allows us to engage with our state organizations. So if you think about a quick trip out of La Crosse, which touches Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin, you think about Casey's, which, you know, central to Iowa, but really in the heart of producer country. And that's where we're really trying to align our focus and energy is working with those convenience stores where we can demonstrate value from a checkoff standpoint back to the producers.
And if you'd like to see more information on what convenience stores are doing for the pork industry, you can find that information online at pork.org. Moving along now into state and local ag news here on a Monday. The cover crop premium discount program is returning for 2020, and the Illinois Department of Agriculture is announcing the second year of the Fall Covers for Spring Savings program. This program is applicable for acreage in Illinois that was planted to cover crops this fall and then will be planted to an insurable crop come 2021. Eligible applicants receive $5 an acre discount on the following year's crop insurance invoice for every acre of cover crops that are enrolled and verified within the program. The inaugural season of the premium discount program that was initiated by State Senator Scott Bennett and Andy Menar resulted in an additional 50,000 acres of cover crops planted across Illinois, with 70% of applicants identified as planting a cover crop for the very first time. Farmers are encouraged to take this program into consideration when they make their fall planting decisions. This discount program was designed to promote additional acres of cover crops that are not covered by other state or federal incentives. The Illinois Department of Agriculture will use a combination of tools to verify acres applied for through this pilot program that are planted in a cover crop. The program is only applicable for those with coverage through the USDA's Risk Management Agency Crop Insurance Program. Confirmed applications will be forwarded to the USDA RMA office for processing and applying premium discounts to 2021 crop insurance invoices. Applications will be made available come December, which is already here tomorrow, Tuesday, and they'll be on the Illinois Department of Ag's website. Further information can be obtained for the program by contacting the Illinois Department of Ag in Springfield at 217-782-6297. In other news from around the state, do you know an experienced certified crop advisor with a passion for soybean management? The Illinois Soybean Association is now accepting nominations for the annual Soybean Master Advisor Award presented by the Illinois Soybean Association's Checkoff Program. Any Illinois CCA whose certification is active, is interested and involved in soybean management, and works with farmers can be nominated. The award is part of the Soybean Association's effort to recognize certified crop advisors for the contribution to Illinois soybean production. ISA is a committed partner of the Illinois CCA program, offering multiple opportunities for crop advisors to improve their soybean management skills to be the most knowledgeable CCAs in the country. Illinois Soybean Association also recruits experts to serve as CCA soy envoys each year to contribute local timely soybean management advice and expert insight to Soybean Association's agronomic website, ilsoyadvisor.com. Award winners will be recognized during the ISA's IL Soy Advisor Virtual Soybean Summit that will happen come February. To nominate a certified crop advisor, you can provide additional information about the nominee by filling out a form on their website. Nominations will be reviewed by a panel of soybean board members, Illinois CCA board members, and university professionals. Nominations will be open until December 18th. And you can visit ilsoyadvisor.com to learn more and download the nomination form. From the Soybean Association to the Corn Growers Association, Randy DeSutter, a farmer from Woodhull, Illinois, has been elected president of the Illinois Corn Growers Association for the coming year at the reorganizational meeting, which was held Tuesday of last week following the organization's annual meeting. DeSutter has served on the IGCA board for 8 years, most recently as vice president. He'll continue his role as the District 3 director for the duration of his term as president, serving members in Henderson, Henry, Knox, Mercer, Rock Island, and Warren County. Joining DeSutter in leadership roles are Vice President Marty Moore of Jacksonville, Treasurer Sarah Hastings of Sydney, and Secretary Kate Danner of Aledo. The Exports Committee will be led by Chairman Dave Rylander of Victoria and Vice Chairman Matt Rush of Fairfield. Elected to serve in the Industrial Committee were Terry Smith of Clayton and Vice Chairman Keith Sanders of Vandalia. Grassroots Committee leadership for the upcoming year are Chairman Bill Lee of Minock and Vice Chairman Garrett Hawkins of Waterloo. Two directors were re-elected and will continue their positions as directors, and they are Keith Sanders for District 11 of Vandalia and Garrett Hawkins, District 14 of Waterloo. Re-elected at-large directors are Kate Danner of Aledo and Dave Rylander of Victoria. Three newly elected directors include Ellen Ron of Mount Carroll, serving farmers in District 2, Jason Bunting of Emmington, serving farmers in District 5, and Mike Shane of East Peoria, serving farmers in District 8. Moving on now to local ag news, Andrew Holsinger, horticulture educator, serving University of Illinois Extension Unit 18, which is Christian, Jersey, McCoupin, and Montgomery County, was honored by the U of I Extension for his innovative use of technology to expand programmatic reach. And Ashley Bell, who is the Environmental and Energy Stewardship Educator for District 18, was recognized for her dedicated and impactful work with Extension programs. First off, Holsinger received the Excellence in Technology Award for his recognition of video production work, including the addition of closed captioning to video uploads on the Horticulture YouTube channel. He has been instrumental in introducing various technology platforms to the Horticulture team during the transition to remote work during COVID-19. Bell received the Excellence in Program Evaluation Award from the U of I Extension. That award recognizes overall excellence in ensuring evaluation of extension programs to primarily determine the impact of programs on participants, as well as determining the program's improvement. Both awards add to the abundance of awards District 18 has won this year, making District 18 of the U of I Extension one of the best in Illinois. And coming up in local programs from the U of I Extension, this holiday season is bound to be different, but the U of I Extension will be helping families manage the ups and downs, especially with COVID-19 in the mix. In a three-part series starting tomorrow, Tuesday, Extension educators will offer practical tips for you and your family enjoy this special time of year without the fuss. The free online webinars again begin tomorrow at 6:30, December the 1st, and will be at 6:30, December 8th, and the 15th as well. To register, you can just go online at go.illinois.edu/holidays. The webinar lineup includes tomorrow Tuesday's topic of jolly good cooking and holiday substitutes, swaps, and season's greetings. You can unwrap fun, festive holiday cooking ideas and learn about quick substitutes, swaps, and the secrets of downsizing your favorite family recipe. Next week on December 8th from 6:30 to 7 is balancing extra calories through the holiday. Learn tips to enjoy your favorite holiday dishes along with physical activity to keep your toes moving into the new year. And finally on Tuesday, December 15th is making a list and checking it twice again from 6:30 to 7. If you're feeling overwhelmed with the holiday season, you can take back control and stay on track as you rein in some of the chaos by making a list and simplifying out your life. These simple steps you can take, and they will decrease your stress so you can enjoy the holiday. Again, the three-part series starts tomorrow Tuesday from 6:30 to 7 and runs every Tuesday through December 15th. More information, contact the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro at 532-3941. And that'll conclude your Ag News here on a Monday morning. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by email at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Monday morning, November 30th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.